The power does not fail all at once. It flickers. It drops for an hour. It comes back weaker. Then it disappears again. Freezers thaw in stages. Water pressure stutters. Phones charge slower than they should. On a small homestead, this is the moment that exposes fantasy. The grid is still there, but it is no longer dependable. Fuel runs low, faster than planned. Extension cords snake across floors. Someone realizes too late that the well pump and the fridge cannot run together. This is not about walking away from the grid. It is about surviving its bad days without panic or damage. It is about knowing what matters when power becomes a ration, not a guarantee. Most failures are quiet. They stretch across hours and days, not headlines. Resilience starts before the blackout. It starts with honesty, limits, and systems that bend instead of break. Chapter 1. Know your weak points before the lights go out. Scope. You are not preparing for the end of the world. You are preparing for a power system that works most days and fails just often enough to hurt you. On a small homestead, energy resilience means staying functional when the grid turns unreliable, not disappearing. This chapter is about finding your weak points before an outage forces the lesson. It focuses on understanding what you truly need, where power fails first, and how to harden your setup without adding generation or storage. Safety. Before you touch anything, you slow down. You do not open panels. You do not bypass breakers. You do not improvise wiring. Everything in this chapter stays on the safe side of homeowner responsibility. Your main risks are overload, heat, spoiled food, damaged equipment, and panic decisions made in the dark. Resilience starts with avoiding mistakes that turn inconvenience into loss. Tools and materials. You need very little equipment to do this work. You need time, a notebook, and honesty. A basic plug-in power meter is useful, but not required. A flashlight matters more than most tools. You also need access to past utility bills and a clear view of how your household actually lives, not how you imagine it should live during an emergency. Steps. Step 1 is admitting how outages really happen. Most rural and edge-of-grid homesteads do not lose power forever. They lose it in waves. Wind knocks down a line. Ice builds on trees. A transformer fails. Power comes back partially. Voltage drops. Crews take longer to reach you because you are not the priority. These failures are frustrating because they sit in the middle ground. You are not desperate enough to abandon everything, but you are unstable enough to lose food, water, and equipment. Step 2 is mapping your daily load by behavior, not labels. Appliance stickers lie by omission. They tell you peak draw under ideal conditions. They do not tell you how long something runs, how often it cycles, or what happens when multiple devices compete. You write down a normal day. Morning routines, cooking, water use, heating or cooling, evening lighting and electronics. You track what runs at the same time. This exposes clustering, which is where failures begin. Step 3 is separating critical loads from comfort loads. Critical loads keep people safe, food preserved, and water moving. Comfort loads make life easier, but can be shut down without harm. Refrigeration usually qualifies as critical. A well pump usually qualifies as critical. Lighting at night usually qualifies as critical. Entertainment rarely does. This is not moral judgment, it is survival math. Step 4 is confronting hidden dependencies. Many homesteads believe they are low energy because they heat with wood or cook with gas. Then the power goes out and the blower will not run. The ignition will not spark. The well will not pump. Suddenly the house is cold and dry despite full fuel stores. You list every system that quietly depends on electricity, even if it does not feel electrical. Step 5 is identifying surge and startup problems. Motors draw more power at startup than during steady operation. Pumps, compressors, and refrigeration are common offenders. During unstable grid conditions, these surges trip breakers or stall equipment. This is where many people assume they need more power when they actually need better sequencing. You note which devices cannot start at the same time without trouble. Step 6 is finding physical weak points. Walk your property during daylight. Look at where power enters the building. Look at overhead lines if you have them. Trees near lines are not abstract risks. They are future outages waiting for weather. Look at outlets that already feel loose. Look at extension cords that are always in use. These are signs of systems already stretched. Step 7 is recognizing time sensitivity. Some failures hurt after minutes, Others hurt after hours or days. A freezer may hold temperature for a day if unopened. A refrigerator degrades faster. Water systems fail immediately. Medical devices fail immediately. This timing matters more than raw wattage. Resilience favors systems that buy you time. Step 8 is reducing load before adding anything new. This is the cheapest and fastest gain you will ever make. Swap lighting to low draw options. Fix seals on refrigerators so compressors cycle less. Insulate spaces that leak heat so fans and blowers run less often. Train the household to avoid simultaneous high draw use. None of this is dramatic. All of it works. Step 9 is planning for partial power, not full blackout. Many outages deliver unstable voltage instead of nothing. This damages electronics silently. You identify sensitive devices and plan to unplug them during brownouts. A damaged freezer controller costs more than weeks of careful management. Step 10 is stress testing your assumptions. Pick a normal evening and pretend the grid drops to unreliable. You do not shut everything off. You only allow critical loads. You watch what feels easy and what feels painful. This exercise reveals emotional weak points as much as technical ones. Panic often comes from surprise, not actual shortage. Checks and fixes. After the audit, you review patterns. If breakers trip during normal use, that is a warning. If cords heat up, that is a warning. If you cannot clearly explain what must stay powered, that is a warning. Fixes at this stage are behavioral and organizational. Rearrange routines. Label circuits. Move critical devices to known outlets. Store flashlights where you can reach them in the dark. Care. Energy resilience is not a one-time project. Households change. Equipment ages. Seasons shift demand. You revisit this audit at least once a year, preferably before the worst weather season. You involve everyone who lives there. A plan that only exists in one head fails under stress. End pressure line. By the end of this chapter, you should feel slightly uncomfortable. That discomfort is clarity. Most small homesteads do not fail because they lack power. They fail because they never learned where their power actually goes. Chapter 2. Partial power without cutting the cord. Scope. You are not leaving the grid. You are learning how to lean on it less when it stumbles. This chapter covers partial generation and short-term storage for small homesteads that still remain connected. The goal is stability during outages and brownouts, not total independence. Every system discussed here is meant to work alongside the grid, not replace it. The moment you chase independence, cost and complexity rise faster than reliability. Safety. Electricity does not forgive shortcuts. Anything that touches your main service, permanent wiring, or utility interface belongs to licensed professionals and permitted work. You stay in the lane of planning, sizing, and safe usage. You never backfeed power into a live grid. You never connect generation to household wiring without approved transfer equipment. You treat fuel, batteries, and moving parts as ongoing risks, not set-and-forget solutions. Tools and materials. At this stage, planning tools matter more than hardware. You need your load audit from Chapter 1. You need manufacturer specifications for any equipment you consider. You need secure storage space for fuel or batteries. You need basic safety gear, such as fire extinguishers, rated for electrical and fuel fires. You also need clear labels and signage to prevent confusion during stress. Steps. Step 1 is redefining what partial power means. Partial power is not running everything at once. It is keeping critical loads alive in rotation or priority order. This mindset shift prevents overspending and disappointment. Most small homesteads need hundreds or a few thousand watts intermittently, not tens of thousands continuously. Step 2 is understanding grid-tied solar as resilience, not freedom. Grid-tied solar alone does nothing during an outage. It shuts down to protect line workers. To be useful during failures, it must be paired with approved islanding equipment and limited backup circuits. This setup allows a portion of your solar production to feed selected loads when the grid drops. It does not power the whole house. It buys daylight stability. Step 3 is sizing battery systems honestly. Batteries are time machines. They buy hours, not lifestyles. You size them based on critical loads identified earlier. Refrigeration, lighting, communications, and small electronics come first. Heating, cooling, and heavy motors usually do not fit unless the budget is large. Overselling battery capacity is the fastest way to feel betrayed by your own system. Step 4 is accepting that batteries hate neglect. They degrade with heat, cold, and age. They require monitoring and eventual replacement. A smaller, well-managed battery bank often outperforms a large, neglected one. You plan for replacement costs upfront so the system does not become stranded hardware in 5 years. Step 5 is using portable generators as gap fillers, not foundations. Portable generators excel at short bursts. They recharge batteries, run pumps, or handle peak loads that batteries cannot. They fail as long-term continuous solutions due to fuel consumption, noise, maintenance, and wear. You choose inverter-style units for sensitive electronics and fuel efficiency. You accept that fuel access is the real bottleneck. Step 6 is confronting fuel reality. Gasoline degrades, diesel gels, propane requires delivery. Storing large quantities introduces fire risk and regulatory concerns. Most homesteads underestimate how fast fuel disappears during repeated outages. You plan fuel use around rotation and prioritization, not nonstop operation. A generator that runs 2 hours wisely beats one that runs 12 hours blindly. Step 7 is understanding transfer at a conceptual level. Safe power switching requires isolating backup power from the grid. This is done through approved transfer switches or subpanels installed by professionals. Your role is deciding which circuits matter. Refrigeration, water, lighting, communications, everything else waits. This clarity saves money and prevents dangerous improvisation. Step 8 is embracing redundancy over capacity. One big system failing leaves you powerless. Several smaller systems overlapping leave you functional. Solar plus battery plus generator plus grid creates layers. None need to be large. Each covers the other's weaknesses. Redundancy is quieter and cheaper than brute force. Step 9 is planning for partial failure. What happens when the generator will not start? What happens when the battery reports a fault? What happens when clouds last 3 days? You write down fallback actions. Manual water use, food rotation, device shutdown order. Planning these decisions ahead of time prevents arguments and mistakes under stress. Step 10 is practicing controlled operation. During normal conditions, you occasionally run your backup systems. You power critical loads only. You observe heat, noise, and usability. You adjust placement and routines. Practice turns equipment from novelty into muscle memory. Checks and fixes. After installation or acquisition, you inspect regularly. Cords remain cool. Connections remain tight. Fuel remains fresh. Batteries remain within temperature limits. Labels remain readable. If something feels confusing during daylight, it will be dangerous during an outage. Simplify aggressively. You also review expectations. If the system feels disappointing, the issue is usually sizing or assumptions, not failure. Partial power is not comfort. It is continuity. Care. Systems age. Fuel cycles. Batteries fade. You schedule maintenance like you schedule harvests or repairs. You document procedures. You train everyone in the household. You keep written instructions near equipment. Resilience that depends on memory alone will fail when stress hits. End pressure line. By the end of this chapter, you should see the trade. Every layer of control adds resilience and responsibility at the same time. Partial power works only when the homestead accepts limits and plans inside them. Chapter 3. Staying stable when systems age and stress. Scope. You have mapped your loads. You have added partial generation, batteries, and portable backups. You have practiced load discipline and rotation. Now comes the hardest part, sustaining resilience over time. Energy systems are not static. They age, they degrade, and stress amplifies their weaknesses. This chapter focuses on long-term stability for small homesteads. You will learn to manage equipment, maintain discipline, and layer redundancy so that partial power remains functional year after year. The goal is continuity, not perfection, and survival without panic. Safety. Resilience fails fastest when care fails. Batteries, fuel, and electrical equipment remain hazards. Follow manufacturer guidelines for storage, temperature, and handling. Do not improvise repairs on inverters or generators. Always treat fuel as flammable and corrosive. Keep extinguishers rated for electrical and fuel fires accessible. Label everything clearly to prevent mistakes under stress. A well-maintained system is a safe system. Neglect is a liability disguised as independence. Tools and materials. At this stage, the most important tools are calendars, checklists, and monitoring equipment. You need thermometers for battery storage, timers for generator run hours, and meters to track draw and charge cycles. Documentation of your system configuration is critical. Flashlights, extension cords, and spare fuses remain essential, as do basic hand tools for maintenance. Safety gear includes gloves, eye protection, and fire suppression tools appropriate to each energy source. Step 1 is layered redundancy. Redundancy beats capacity at small scales. You layer grid, solar, batteries, and generator backups. Each covers weaknesses in the others. No single failure leaves you powerless. Redundancy requires planning which circuits feed from which source. Rotate usage to prevent overtaxing any one system. Document which loads are critical and where they connect. Step 2 is load discipline. The homestead's inhabitants must understand that power is not unlimited. You set rules for usage during partial outages. Refrigerators cycle independently. Pumps run on timers. Heating or cooling is limited to essential periods. Lights are prioritized. You communicate expectations clearly to everyone in the household. Discipline saves energy and prevents failures cascading into crises. Step 3 is seasonal planning. Energy needs change with weather. Winter demands heating. Summer demands ventilation or cooling. Batteries perform differently in cold and heat. Fuel consumption changes. You plan for high and low seasons in advance. Stock extra fuel for winter heating or summer backup if delivery is slow. Adjust routines for predictable demand swings. Step 4 is equipment care and maintenance. Batteries lose capacity if neglected. Generators fail if run too little or too long without service. Solar inverters may fault under dust, heat, or moisture. You schedule regular inspections, cleaning, and service. Keep logs of hours run, voltage readings, and observed anomalies. Replace parts proactively rather than reactively. Step 5 is monitoring system stress. Watch voltage drops, battery temperature, and generator performance. Listen for unusual noises. Observe fuel levels closely. Monitoring allows intervention before failure becomes emergency. Small signs ignored today become major failures tomorrow. Step 6 is anticipating and managing partial system failures. Batteries may hold less charge, the generator may take longer to start, or a solar panel may underperform. You keep backup strategies ready, alternate circuits, manually powered pumps, or shared community resources. Contingency is a cornerstone of stability. Step 7 is community integration. Energy resilience improves when you consider neighbors or local networks. Sharing knowledge, fuel, or temporary loads during stress reduces isolation and amplifies individual system strength. Small homesteads alone may survive short outages. Connected networks survive longer disruptions. Step 8 is documenting procedures. Every step of system operation and maintenance should exist in written form. Include load rotation, generator startup, battery checks, fuel handling, and seasonal adjustments. Documentation prevents mistakes during high-stress situations. Update procedures after each anomaly or practice session. Step 9 is measuring success in continuity, not uptime. Your goal is to maintain function, not perfection. Critical loads must remain powered. Comfort loads are optional. Avoid chasing ideal capacity at the cost of stability. Systems that operate partially but reliably are more valuable than large, complex systems that fail under pressure. Step 10 is institutionalizing review. At least once per year, preferably before the worst season, review every system. Examine what worked, what failed, and what can improve. Involve everyone in the household. A plan held in one person's mind fails under stress. Regular review keeps both equipment and people prepared. Checks and fixes. After audits and seasonal reviews, address weaknesses immediately. Batteries showing early signs of degradation need replacement or adjustment. Generators requiring extra cranking hours need maintenance. Fuel nearing expiry must be rotated or replaced. Wiring, cords, and connectors should be inspected for wear. Check labels, documentation, and tool availability. Fix human factors. Reinforce load discipline and review procedures with all household members. Care. Resilience is an ongoing commitment. Systems require attention, stress requires patience, and humans require clear rules. Fuel storage must be rotated. Batteries must be cycled. Generators must be run periodically. Systems must be adjusted for seasonal and usage changes. Discipline must be practiced consistently. Care is the difference between a system that fails silently and one that performs reliably when needed most. Final pressure line. The cost of resilience is attention, labor, and honesty. Energy systems do not forgive neglect, overconfidence, or improvisation. Stability persists only as long as you respect limits, maintain equipment, and enforce disciplined usage. The homestead that plans, monitors, and adapts will survive outages that overwhelm those who ignore reality. Resilience is not power alone. It is control under pressure, repeated day after day, year after year.